No sooner were we gone off air the last day about the YR4 threat than the percentage of a chance of it hitting Earth probably nearly doubled, or not quite doubled, but it's actually gone up again, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, it was quite a scary time. It's the worst threat that's ever been discovered for a large object bigger than, say, 100 feet across. And it just, the percentage just kept going up from about 1 and a bit % up to 3.5% at one stage, which just beggared belief, because normally as they tie down the orbit more accurately, the probability diminishes away. But the good news is, in the last few days, new observations with very big telescopes, because the object's getting quite far away now, have shown that the orbit will be such that it'll almost certainly miss us in 2032. So we're not all going to die. Well, if we are, the chances drop from 1 in 40 down to about 1 in 100,000.
Well, there you go.
It's nice to be able to say it.
Well, it's great. There's breaking news now on Community Radio Kilkenny City that Ireland is, or the world is more or less going to be safe in 2032, because I think at one stage we weren't going to really know until about 2028. But as you say, these huge and massive telescopes are able to tell us a little bit more as time goes on. Isn't that right?
Yeah, and it's still a warning for us that, you know, we found this thing out of the blue, and for a few weeks we just didn't know if it would have hit us. And this is below the biggest estimate now, is about 90 meters, maybe as small as 40 meters. The surveys that are going on now are only looking for objects about 150 meters across and bigger. So this was one we didn't really expect to find, and it gave us a bit of a scare. So there are other systems, telescopes coming online, that will find objects as this size or even smaller, and we may be able to, we expect we're going to find a lot more of those, and we may find another one that's on a collision course and might actually hit us in perhaps our lifetime or maybe a century or two, which hopefully will give us time to do something about it, not the 7 years we're going to have this time.
Absolutely. Now, David, CERN, C-E-R-N, the European Organization for Nuclear Research. Now, first of all, just tell us, what is CERN, or what does it do?
Well, it's probably the biggest scientific experiment in the world. Last count, there's around 10,000 scientists. And these are world-class top scientists working on it. They built the Large Hadron Collider, that I'm sure many people have heard of, which I think costs around $10 billion euros, or the same these days. And it was designed to probe exactly what gives matter its mass, because most things in the universe move at the speed of light. Why don't we? Why is matter different? It becomes very crazy when you look into the very small world. You end up with quantum mechanics and probabilities. It's not as certain as the big world that we see. Yet everything in the big world is based on these subatomic particles. So it's probably the most important area of science if you want to explain the universe. So it's like astronomers work from the Big Bang, huge timescales and distances down, and the particle physicists are studying the universe from the tiniest building block up. And the Large Hadron Collider had this big story in 2012 that got it the Nobel Prize, when it found the Higgs boson, the so-called God particle, that was theorized to have existed back in the 1960s mathematically, but was actually found. And that got them the Nobel Prize. It was a huge discovery, and it sort of explains that the way we think the tiny subatomic world works actually is the way we think it works. Now, we're still not certain of the exact minutiae of it all, but it was a big step forward.
For sure. Now, David, back in 2012, you got a real coup, because you got the then director of CERN to give a public lecture here.
Yeah, we were very lucky, because we had contacted them the year before. And around Christmas of 2011, they were beginning to say, we've got good evidence now for the Higgs boson, but we need to get more evidence to be absolutely certain. A bit like the recent asteroid, narrow the probabilities down. And when they were about one part in a million certain that they had got it, they issued a press notice that went viral across the world, made the front pages of newspapers, TV news and everything else. I think it was July 2012. and announced that they had now found the Higgs boson beyond any reasonable doubt. And the director of CERN at that stage, a German man, had actually already agreed to give astronomy on the public lecture before all this, a year earlier. Very busy man. We were very lucky to get him. And after the press conference where they announced they discovered the Higgs boson, he had to rush off to a previously arranged professional scientific conference in Australia. And by the time he got back to Europe, his first gig was going to Dublin to talk at Astronomy Ireland's public lecture. So we actually had the first public lecture by the director of CERN after the Higgs boson was found. We booked the biggest lecture theatre we could. It sold out instantly, and he explained exactly how they did it in public for the first time in Dublin to Astronomy Ireland, I might add.
What a coup, in fairness, David. Now, the reason we're talking about this at all is because Ireland's application to join the European Organization for Nuclear Research, CERN, has been accepted in principle. What does that actually mean?
Yeah, well, the professional scientists in Ireland have long wanted to join CERN. I mean, it's the ultimate body to be involved in if you're trying to study the physics of the small. There's a bigger astronomy community than particle physics community in Ireland. So the astronomers got their membership of the European Southern Observatory. We mentioned this last week. There's a petition now to try and stop a big industrial complex being built next to it and ruining it all. We were hoping that one day the Irish researchers would be able to join CERN as well. So now they can get jobs there. Irish companies can tender to build parts for it. You could sort of weasel your way in the back door by offering countries like Britain, that is a member of CERN, that you would help analyze some of their data and you'd get a mention in any papers that were published, but you couldn't suggest new research of your own if you're not paying the bill. So Ireland now is going to join CERN in principle. It's just the formalities. You know, they've already got this $10 billion worth of equipment. You can't just join in and use it all for free. So we're going to have to pay about 1.9 million euros per year. Mm-hmm. That means all Irish researchers can now get fully involved as fully contributing partners. And this puts Ireland on the science map. So the minister, James Lawless, went over there and had a look around CERN, met his colleagues to announce this particular event. It's great to see a minister for science involved in cutting-edge work like this in Europe with all of our European colleagues. And, you know, Irish researchers know CERN inside out. They won't be long coming up with their own research, which we hope to report on the pages of Astronomy Ireland magazine.
We more than likely become an associate member in 2026. That's the plan at the moment. And as you say, there's a cost involved in that. This is something, I suppose, from a scientist's point of view, this is they're really just pinching themselves to see, is this actually reality? I'd say that's how exciting this is for scientists in Ireland, is it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the fact that we've now got a place at the table with the big boys. And remember, Ireland's economy is mostly based on science. All the tech companies we have here, from pharmaceuticals to chip makers and internet companies, all that kind of thing. They need graduates, science graduates, and they need to be trained by the researchers in our universities. And you're not going to attract the best if you're a backward country that's not involved in cutting-edge research. Those researchers will stay in other countries where they've access to the cutting edge because they want to do research as well as teach. And they don't just teach future scientists that are going to become academics. They teach the engineers. They teach the school teachers. They teach even the medical students will get talks about mathematics and physics and the like to explain how things work. So this pumps directly into the economy. You know, we've now got membership of the European Southern Observatory, the biggest telescope in the world. We are members of the European Space Agency. It's got its finger in the Hubble Space Telescope and the James Webb Space Telescope, the best telescopes in space. Now we're going to be in CERN as well. So we've got the complete package now, and we've got an economy that's booming in science. So internationally, this puts Ireland very firmly on the map.
And it's
great that, you know, the powers that be, the political will, has seen that this is the future. If you're going to have a science economy, you've got to invest in it. And if people are wondering why is 2 million quid of my taxes being spent every year, the answer is to guarantee that 2 million quid will be there in the future and a lot more beside if we're to keep our science economy going.
Because if we're members of that, we can now compete for in the procurement programs and stuff like that. So this is all there's a yeah. business case for this as well, isn't there? There's business a big business case for this for Irish businesses.
This has always been the problem with a lot of these big sort of blue sky basic research, as it's called, projects. Is that how do you know how much of a feedback they give into your economy? Well, we now know with our science-based economy and companies screaming out for graduates that's a no-brainer. But it also means that Irish companies, there's, I think, 3,000 jobs now supported by Ireland's involvement in the European Space Agency. And when we go forward, putting in their contracts at CERN go out on a tender basis to all the member countries, Ireland will now be able to tender for those, and I'm sure some Irish engineering companies will get to build parts. We had a talk a while ago by a retired engineer who was actually hired to oversee the entire construction of the Large Hadron Collider. So an Irishman had his finger in the pie very definitely, but that is different to how companies will tender to build parts for it. And he gave a very interesting talk about how the thing worked on a nuts and bolts level. So there is some Irish involvement. As I said, students can still get involved by piggybacking on other countries, but you don't want to be, putting edge science, doing it that way. You want to have a seat at the table. And now I just think we've got the complete package. European Space Agency, European Southern Observatory, and CERN. It's a dream we had 20 years ago that we'd be members of all three. Well, we were already members of ESA back then, and now we have all three. We have definitely put our stamp on the world stage saying Ireland is a science-based economy.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Now, David, just in relation to, tell us what's happening with Mars over the next, tomorrow night, for example.
So we've got a Mars watch tomorrow night for anyone who wants to scoot up to the outskirts of Dublin and look through giant telescopes at Mars while it's particularly close to the Earth. We tried to do this on January 22nd. It was totally cloudy. The weather forecast for tomorrow looks excellent, so we're hoping we're going to be able to redeem ourselves and show people the ice caps, the polar caps, I should say, on Mars, and not water ice like ours are. The dark markings that people saw back in the 1800s for the first time and thought were canals and evidence of at least plant life on the Earth led to that book in 1898 by H.G. Wells, War of the Worlds, that's been countlessly made into movies and plays and everything else. So people get to see Mars live, and unless you've got thousands of euros to spend on your own telescope, you can come along and look at ours. Just go to the website, get a ticket for tomorrow, bring the whole family. There'll be other things on view as well. And it's also a bit of a telescope workshop that if you've got your own telescope, which you don't need to have, but if you have one, you don't know how to use it, bring it along. There'll be lots of telescope experts there, and they'll be able to point out how to use it. Much easier than trying to learn it off YouTube or read about how to operate a telescope. Someone points the actual nuts and bolts and knobs on your telescope and says, don't use this, do use that, etc. Then you'll know how to use it. You can do that in a few minutes. We do it every year. We're able to do it back on January 22nd because we don't need clear skies for that. Okay. But we'll do it again since the Mars Watch Telescope Workshop at the same time. So astronomy.ie, get your tickets there and come along and see us tomorrow night at 7.
Now, also then, it just shows how far we've come about Mars, because when I was young, all it was about the green men from Mars and, aliens from Mars. And now we're getting footage daily nearly from Mars, 140 million miles away. We're getting footage from it. And you have a lecture coming up on the 10th of March with Dr. Francis Butcher from the UK. Just briefly tell us about that one.
Yeah, I mean, we have, like you say, rovers on Mars right now. We have orbiters going around Mars photographing in detail right now. There's a whole bunch of amateur astronomers around the world looking at it with their telescopes, but those things in situ can do a much better job. People want to go to Mars. People like Buzz Aldrin, second man on the moon, even Elon Musk, and others want to go direct to Mars, only want to go to the moon. So probably in our lifetime, this century, let's say, we expect there will be a manned landing on Mars. Some people think it's going to be impossible, but some crazy things are happening in space technology at the moment. I wouldn't be so sure. So Mars, what's there? Is there water? How much of it? So we'll have a talk, a public talk, and the general public, all about this on March 10th. Again, the details on astronomy.ie in the events section.
And finally, you're looking at looking for volunteers who would like to help with the running of their your public watches at Astronomy Ireland HQ.
Yeah, I mean, Astronomy Ireland is entirely run by volunteers, and we need more of them. When we get full employment in a country, people are working overtime, apart from anything else, and we always find it difficult. But if you're fascinated by this subject, want to contribute and get more people interested, then join Astronomy Ireland. Just contact us. A couple of people have done so recently. They'll be helping out tomorrow night. And the more, the merrier, because, you know, Ireland's population is growing, the interest in space and science is growing, and we need their help. And there's so much to see in the sky, like Mercury close to Saturn tonight. They're at their very closest. I saw all 8 planets last night, which is the record. You can't see any more than that. Got pictures of them all. I'll be putting them in the next issue of the magazine. Hopefully other people will do likewise tonight. Maybe even did last night and haven't reported it yet.
Absolutely. So if you want to volunteer, you email admin@astronomy.ie. And also don't forget the Astronomy Ireland magazine. If you want to get, become a member of that and get that, if it's only €1 a week. So, look, we'll leave it there. David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland. Thank you as always for joining me on Kilkenny today. And we'll talk to you again next week. Now,
my pleasure.
That's David Moore there, editor of Astronomy Ireland. And that brings me to the end of Stephen's programme. Stay